Hey everybody, welcome to episode 51 of Breaking In.
I feel like we've said 50 like three times. No,
okay. 50 was last week.
All right.
So, which means next week is our 1 year anniversary.
Oh.
But nobody celebrates 52.
No, it's 100, 50. Right? 50, it's
50, 100.
Yeah.
Odd. But yeah, no, it's been nice doing this for a year.
Yeah.
So far.
Yeah.
Should we do something special next week?
Maybe.
I don't know. We'll think about it.
Suggestions?
Just as a heads up, this is going to be a very short show. We have been knee-deep in rewrites all day today, so we're kind of exhausted. And we're argued and talked out.
Yeah, what do we do? 25
pages.
Yeah.
Which is a lot.
Yes.
Given the way we've been doing it.
And right towards the end, it got, why are you snapping at me?
Yeah.
So we decided it was time to
It was definitely time to call it quits. Before we get into what we're kind of going to talk about, a couple of congratulations. Number one, congratulations to Steven, who is part of the Breaking In family, but not part of the Breaking In family
because
he hasn't
yet,
come
but
here
he's
yet.
Been by association.
We've talked to him so many times.
I know.
His film, it went to Cannes, and I think we talked about that.
Yeah.
And his film just sold to Sony Picture Classics. So that is a thing. He sold his film.
And this is the guy that Ali's going to be drawing for.
Right.
So, yeah, it's awesome.
Another congratulations goes out to Lottie of John and Lottie and Chastity Bites. Another film that she worked on and produced, which is not a film we talked about. Well, we might have actually talked about it while she was here.
Yeah, I think so.
Her film that she worked on, Vito, was nominated for an Emmy this week. So that's a big deal.
Congratulations.
And she's listed as one of the co-producers. So I think if it wins an Emmy, she wins an Emmy. Like, she gets a statue.
I don't know, but
don't
that
know
would be
that
awesome.
That, but that's awesome.
Pictures if you do.
Right. Which means she'll no longer be able to hang out with Riff Raff
right, like us, which
she stated on Facebook.
Yes. She's clearly stated that.
Final Draft had their third meetup this week. You, unfortunately, were unable to go.
Mm-hmm.
But I went, and it ended up being kind of a hodgepodge of lost souls. Like, it was a complete surprise of all the people that showed up. I threw it out on Facebook, and Juan showed up. John of John and Lottie showed up. Shannon, one of my former interns, showed up, which was cool to see him because I haven't seen him since he left Copelson.
Right.
He's doing quite well. No longer working for Sears.
Yay! Good for him.
And moved to Koreatown, no longer commuting from Laguna Beach.
Nice. Good for him.
Yes, very good.
Your Australian friend, was it?
Yes,
Australian
Karen.
Writer?
Karen showed up.
Happened to be in town?
Yes. Did not know that. So that was cool. Ended up having all of those people meet. And, of course, we had our little group, and Juan and John got along quite well, nerding out over post-production. And, you know, again, that is the point of these meetups. It's to meet people and have a conversation and meet other people.
In the industry, we're already doing something, and yeah.
And, you know, John just finished Chastity Bites. Juan just finished Star Trek. Two complete fucking different worlds in terms of box office budget, in terms of star quality, in terms of a budget for the making of. Two completely different worlds. Both of them got into a conversation bitching over a certain company that they had both used in post-production. It was the same company that Juan had used. It was the same company that John had used. So there, even though it seems like I have nothing to talk to about the $200 million Star Trek guy when I just made a $600,000 out-of-pocket indie. But guess what? You do. So.
And he did.
And he did. I thought that was fascinating.
Yeah, that is funny.
So the thing that we kind of want to talk about is twofold. Not to sound like too much of a review show, but we do like to point out things that we come across that we, you know, we did it with House of Cards, ironically.
Right.
Talk about that in a second. But Netflix just popped up with their technically second, well, technically third, but kind of more 2.5, because if you, House of Cards was the first, Arrested Development, which is not really original
they took
programming.
Over. Yeah, exactly.
And then Orange is the New Black. Cheryl and I knocked out the first season, which is only 13 episodes on Netflix. And I found it first, thanks to all of the bus ads that I see every day. Turned you onto it. You were pretty quick to follow.
I blew right through it. It's a you want to see what happened next, and it's one of those ones where they drop all the episodes at one time, so it's not like you're next week I gotta wait for.
There are, and I think what's really interesting is the character development.
Oh, amazing!
It's not a comedy. It's from the creator of Weeds, but it's not a comedy. It's got funny moments, but they're very few and far between. I wouldn't say it's a drama either.
They're like real. How can you not say it's a drama? They're in prison.
Yeah.
That's pretty much as drama as you get.
I guess.
It's the moments that are funny are just real life.
It's not a heavy drama.
Right, right, true. It almost makes you want to go to prison.
Yeah.
A little bit. Take a little vacay. Shit, I need to figure out my point. Oh, the comedy moments are very real. They're just like
they're very real,
I say something funny and that's funny. It's not comedy. It just happens.
They're not jokes.
Right.
And the character, the strength of the characters, and of course it's an ensemble because there's guards, wardens.
I had already
prisoners.
Said to Manny that I can't even imagine number one, a background story on so many characters.
And we'll talk about that in a second.
But to have each character stand out, like you remember the character.
Yeah, there's not
no
anybody that's blended in.
You're not like confused with, oh, what'd she do again? It's pretty amazing.
Every episode, what makes it interesting is that every episode they pick a character almost kind of in the vein of Lost. I know you never watched Lost, but
no.
Every episode of Lost had focused on one character that you found out a little bit more about them before they were on the island.
Okay.
So with this is they take an episode and they'll show flashbacks of whatever character they've chosen. And whatever character they've chosen doesn't necessarily mean the episode is focused on that character.
No, not at all.
Again, because it's an ensemble.
Yeah, but that's odd that you're not actually focusing all your effort on that one character, just how she's relating with somebody else.
Right.
And then her.
So you'll have one episode that's continuing the story arc of the season, but half of that episode is dedicated to a character's life story of how they got into prison. And what they did and the hardships and fuck ups and mistakes and decisions. It's definitely something that is fascinating. I mean, the human element to it and the fact that it's, you know, very real and very light. The effort that goes into creating these characters. I mean, it's like, they always argue that you should have a backstory to all of your characters.
Right.
And I think for most of it, we do as writers. In our heads. But this is a show where they actually film the backstory. And
probably
I find
detail,
that fascinating.
I agree.
Which leads us to sort of the big topic of what we wanted to talk about was Netflix and alternative avenues to getting your film or TV show. It's not Daddy Spielberg's world anymore.
No.
I mean, we were having this conversation yesterday where you were, or no, no, I'm sorry, Friday, where you were talking about how
I wish I bought stock in Netflix, number one.
But I mean, how far Netflix has gotten.
Right.
From, you know, from mailing DVD.
Mailing DVDs to people's homes to producing
original
really
programming.
Good.
And originally, really I mean, they're hitting it out of the park.
Yeah.
Arrested Development was a little shaky, but I think they just added an avenue to get that release. But in terms of, you know, Orange is the New Black and House of Cards, I mean, both shows are brilliant.
Agreed. So the market's opening to,
you know,
more independent.
Amazon Studios is a thing now, although
Hulu's doing the same thing.
Hulu seems to be bringing a lot of Hulu. If we're going to make comparisons to the new digital age, I would say Hulu is kind of like an IFC. I think they're bringing a lot of kooky web weird shit, a lot of British shows. A lot of Adult Swim cartoon animation.
But they took over Web Therapy, didn't they?
No, Showtime did. It's just on Hulu.
Oh, okay.
The Netflix is definitely your HBO, Showtime, AMC. They're your cable network. Crackle is kind of like your webisode thing.
Crackle never did it for me.
No. And
but they're not
Amazon.
Creating.
Crackle's yeah, well, there creating. Is original. There's original material
oh, there is.
On there.
Okay.
Yeah. It's very short form. They're the webisode plays.
Okay.
Like it's 5 to 15 minute episodes, along with cheesy, shitty 80s movies they can get the rights to at this point. and then Amazon. Is really nothing. I think their biggest attempt at doing anything was resurrecting Zombieland, and that
failed miserably.
That was a horrible disaster.
That's like they had tomatoes at their screen. That's how bad that was.
Yeah. And we watched it.
Yeah.
And it was not good.
No.
But some of the pilots got picked up. I think John Goodman has a pilot on Amazon that got picked up. So, I don't know. I mean,
it's just interesting that there's so many more options. I think people are like, oh, I got to get into Paramount somehow. I got to get into.
Yeah, no.
No, you don't.
I mean, we were just talking about Drunk History.
Yes.
Now, my understanding of it is, isn't that the Drunk History? It's now a show on Comedy Central, but didn't it start out as a skit on Funny or Die?
I want to say yes.
And it just progressed through the avenues, and now it's a show.
Right, which I watched one, and it was hysterical. Not only hysterical, but you actually learn something, because these are people who are so into... I mean, this is their specialty. Whatever they're talking about is their specialty. So
trashed.
Yeah, but they're trash. So all these random facts come out about Washington. You're like, what? What? Doesn't have anything to do with Washington, president, blah. Has nothing to do with it. It's just random facts about his toes or...
Right.
And then they'll just stop in the middle. You know, once they get too drunk, they're like, what was I talking about?
Nice.
You know, it's just pretty funny. And it's just them and the camera guy.
Right. I mean, yeah.
So it's I think it's funny. They do skit drawings in between it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, breaking into the business again, and I know
another app, different avenue.
There's so many roads. There's a million of them. And with shows like Orange is the New Black and House of Cards, although those are from reputable people who have had long running shows or even Oscar nominated feature films on the air, are also moving to these other avenues too, which is a good thing for us, because the more heat, you know, if Netflix were to become a channel, I mean, it's kind of a channel now,
right?
But if it were to actually become a channel where there were 15, 20 shows, you know,
looking for building their network and
that Netflix got involved in pilot season.
Yeah.
It's a different ball game.
Yeah.
Bald game?
No.
Bald game.
That's a good one. Let's put that in a script. Oh, that's perfect for Maha, by the way.
Ah, nice. So I think that is definitely something to consider. I do not know how to make that happen. I don't know how to get your stuff to Netflix.
No idea.
But I can tell you, you know,
next this, person we have, next manager or agent we have right. on the show is going to be asked that question. How do you get to them?
There's a, it's kind of a cliche in the industry at this point where stop asking how to do it and just do it. You know, I don't think it costs any money to put a video on Funny or Die. It that, doesn't well, cost yeah, any money right. to put a YouTube. Video on YouTube. Put a video on YouTube. Link it to Facebook. Link it to Twitter. Hopefully
it
you've got...
matter what do you put on there?
Well, that's a 5-minute video that you think is awesome. You know, that showcases your humor or your ignorance or your brilliant writing. I don't know. Doesn't matter.
Right.
But the point is that stop worrying about getting an agent and a manager and making your shit go viral. Because people will notice.
Yeah.
I tell you what, working in development, it's all we did is sat around and watch trailers to weird indies. We were on YouTube all day long.
New books coming out.
Funny or Die, no College
writers,
Humor.
Yeah.
We were on all that stuff. And it... anything that was worthy of getting sent around eventually got sent around. You know, or there were videos that I've seen just randomly off of Facebook that ended up on Tosh.0, that ultimately ended up on Jimmy Kimmel.
Right.
You know,
right. Yeah.
I mean, this is the world that we're living in and people are watching for content. And, you know, I know I don't really watch Jimmy Fallon, but I know Fallon does that kind of stuff. I know Conan sometimes does that kind of stuff. So who knows where your shit's going
to
get.
Yeah. And it's not like you can send it directly to them.
No.
So the
it just
only
has to get viral.
Exactly. It's,
you have to be your own marketing genius.
Yeah.
And hey, look, it's not that hard. I mean, we didn't think anybody would be listening to us, and here we are almost a year later with quite a hefty following.
Hi, Mom.
Yes, we talked to my mom yesterday. She's a very big fan of the show. Which is disturbing because sometimes I don't remember. I have no
said,
filter.
I
have no filter.
Yeah, I know. I think about that too. Like, have I said anything that's so offensive
that
I would not want your mom to hear? But.
No.
Ah, she's going to listen. She's going to hear it.
That's right. Well, no, actually, we criticized her criticism.
Oh, that's true. Aw. Sorry about that.
Anyway, just something to think about. I don't think Netflix has a development team. I don't think Netflix is going to be having tables at PitchFest. Who knows? Maybe.
That's
there's,
it. Who knows?
There's got to be somebody doing it somewhere. But this is the new age that we're living in, and you need to embrace it. It's something that you might get into, which reminds me, and we should finish up on this, but I just had a thought. Somebody came up to me at the meetup, and I'm going to deem him our unofficial fucktard of the week because we haven't had one in a while.
True.
He was asking me, he wanted to know a technical question. He said, how do you take a script off of Final Draft and reform it into a novel? And my first instinct was to look at him and go, as one screenwriter to another, why would you want to do that? And he said, well, I'm talking to this lawyer, and the lawyer said that I would make a lot more money if I wrote the book first.
Aw, that's adorable.
I know. So let's talk about this very quickly, very briefly. This should be a no fucking brainer. Here's the short answer. If you write a book, it gets optioned into a script and you write the screenplay or already have the screenplay or retain the rights of the book, yes, you will make more money. That is fact. Because you are sole ownership of the book and rights to the book. You are not the sole owner to a script. That's why you sell a script. You don't sell a book. You get it published, but you still own the rights. Now, in order for anyone to to actually make money in that scenario, A, you have to get it published. It can't, I mean, yes, there are instances where things have been self-published that got kind of somewhere, that's but no,
really hard to
not do. Really.
Yeah.
You have to get published by a reputable company. It has to get some heat. It has to get enough heat to where Hollywood's actually interested in optioning this book.
Oh, no, never mind. First, your book has to be a bestseller.
Right. Or, well, that's what I'm saying.
It has to be a bestseller. Pretty fucking high on the list.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Heat.
Yeah.
Bestseller. It has to be pretty high on the list.
So I'm sorry. If you thought that you could possibly write a good screenplay, and now you're saying you can write a bestseller novel, you're absolutely right. You should go write novels.
This is the worst part. The worst part is he was basically asking how to take a screenplay. And I'm like, the formats don't jive.
And then add 800 pages? How is that going to work?
Exactly. Exactly. So I made a sarcastic comment. And I said, the bottom answer is you basically have to have the next Twilight or Hunger Games in order to have you be in that realm.
Harry Potter, yeah.
What do you think he said to me?
Yes, he does.
He has the next Hunger Games.
Yep.
And I'm like, I just immediately started laughing. I go, look, I've worked in development for 3 years. Everybody's got the next greatest thing.
Yeah.
I guess what? You don't.
Yeah. I can't even imagine answering that way.
Yeah, well, I probably didn't answer it in the best way that Final Draft would have wanted me to answer it.
No, and probably laughing in somebody's face is not the best PR there either, Skippy.
Whatever. I'm sorry. You come up to me and end up asking me a fucktarded question, you're going to get smacked down.
You know what? That would keep him busy for a really long time. He should go write a novel. Go do that.
He didn't have much time left.
Yeah, you better get on that. Any hoozle.
Yeah. Fucked out of the week. All right. Well, we ended up actually doing 22. So there you go.
Turkey's done.
Yes. We're going to go eat and watch the season premiere of The Newsroom.
Which is an awesome show, too, also, by the way.
Which we've talked about.
It's Aaron Sorkin. Just saying. Just want to make sure I give it a plug.
All right, people. So for this week of Breaking In, I'm Annie.
And I'm Cheryl.
Till next week.
Peace out.